We're going to do section four today, but we're going to do it a little differently. Instead of me having you take one of those things online, what you're going to do is you're going to have to outline in detail section four. It's a complicated section, so I'm going to lecture you on it right now, explain it to you, but then you have to do it. You cannot do it for 10 minutes and spend the rest of the time socializing. Even if you turn it in, I won't give you credit for it. You need to work the entire period. I mean, I couldn't really explain that section in such a short period of time, so you need to work the whole period. It's not free time. You also, when you come back on Tuesday, you're going to go right away. We're going to start taking these tests. You have a test on the vocabulary test, and then you have the chapter test right away when you come back. And both those tests are online for you to study, so it should be pretty easy for you. Okay? Section 4 talks about how Congress is organized. Well, let me get the screen going for you. It says how Congress is organized and how it's structured. So this talks about the actual structure, how the people are organized is what they're talking about. And the institution itself is organized. A lot of terms in this chapter, there's something like, I don't know, 30 or 40 terms in this chapter. You need to know them all. The vocabulary test is kind of extensive. So the terms you need to know for this section is the majority party, the Speaker of the House, a caucus, which is a meeting, a small group of people that meet, presidential succession, who takes over when the president dies and then other people, the majority leader, the minority leader, and all of those things are important. Just everybody sit down and just focus here, okay? You need to understand what a whip is. Who is the president pro tem? What does that mean? What are standing committees? Seniority rule, the oldest person in they go by seniority in the Congress. People have been there the longest get the highest positions. They have subcommittees. They'll have a committee, for example, on drugs in the United States, and then they'll have another subcommittee on the health effects of drugs. Certain select committees that they'll do to investigate certain things, they'll form a select committee. And then they'll have joint committees between the Senate and the House of Representatives. And then sometimes they'll have conference committees between the two parts of Congress. You need to know what an administrative assistant is. An administrative assistant is one of the most powerful persons in Washington, D.C. Every representative and every senator has an administrative assistant. That's the guy that actually runs the office and takes control of the office. Just put that down for now, okay? He takes control of the office. So sometimes the administrative assistant is the senator, or the administrative assistant is the representative. I remember when I was in Washington, D.C., they had a senator from Arizona named Carl Hayden, and he was really, really old and out of it. It was like 90 years old. He had been the senator when Arizona became a state. So he was an old sheriff from the old days with the guns and stuff. And he had no idea what was going on. His administrative assistant told him how to vote and what to vote on and told him what to do. And he would just go down and vote the way the guy told him to vote. So then there are caseworkers. There are people that communicate with their constituents and help them out with their problems. And then legislative correspondents. So we'll get into all of those things. The House leadership. In the House of Representatives, you have a Speaker of the House. This is the one office that's mandated by the Constitution. Constitution says you'll have a Speaker of the House. The tradition is that it be a longtime member. They don't put a new person up as Speaker of the House. Right, Tim? It's usually someone who's been there for a long time. It gets picked as a Speaker of the House. The caucus, whatever party gets a majority of people in the Congress, they'll form a caucus, a little group of the party. So the Republicans, when they get elected, they form a little group. And they say, well, let's pick this guy or let's pick that guy. And then they pick the person that they want to be the Speaker of the House. Once you get to be Speaker, then you really start to exercise your power, because the Speaker has a lot of power. He presides over the House. He sits up in that chair. It doesn't sit there all the time. He has people that sit for him. But he sits in that chair, and he presides over the House of Representatives when they're in session. He's second in line to be President. If the President and the Vice President get killed, the Speaker takes over. He has a lot of additional powers. He controls which bills will go to the floor. If Speaker of the House does not want a law passed, he just says he won't let it go down and get debated on. That's it. The law's dead. Speaker has that power. Now, they use their power judiciously, but some of them have been like dictators, some of those speakers in the past. He presides over the sessions. He will vote in case there's a tie, or normally he doesn't vote except for that. This is a really big thing where he makes committee assignments. If you get elected to Congress, what you want to do is get on a high-profile committee, a committee that's going to get your picture on the paper and get your face on television all the time, so you can communicate with your constituents. They see you're an important person. So the Speaker of the House is the one that makes the committee assignment. So everybody kisses up to the Speaker because he says, well, you've been good. You're going to vote the way the party wants you to vote on this law. Okay, we'll get you a nice committee assignment next time. Otherwise, you get on some no-name committee that nobody knows about. Everybody gets put on committees. He schedules the bills for action. He makes a schedule up and says what laws they're going to take up and debate and which ones they're not. The speaker may choose a speaker pro tem, in other words, someone to work for, to sit in his place in the chair when he's not there. He has a lot of political clout. If the president is in a different party, the speaker may speak for the party. So usually, like right now, of course, the head of the Republican Party is George Bush, because they've got the elected president. Who's the head of the Democratic Party? Nobody knows right now. But if the Democrats controlled Congress, it would be the Speaker of the House would probably be speaking for the Democratic Party. A lot of people are trying to speak for the party now. Probably Harry Reid, the majority leader in the Senate, is the person that speaks for the Democrat Party now, because they don't control the House, they don't control the Senate, and they don't control the executive branch. So somebody has to be in charge, you know, like the titular head of the party. The majority leader is an important person. He's the majority means that he belongs to the party that has the majority of people in one house of the Congress. So the majority leader is elected by a party caucus. He helps to plan for the make plans for the party. He organizes party members to support bills that they want to get passed. So the Speaker of the House, majority leader in the Senate, for example, he's organizing his people to vote for Bush's Supreme Court nominees and other judgeships in the judicial branch right now. He makes committee chairs. He supports bills. He's a very important person to the party. The majority leader, there's a majority leader in the House, a majority leader in the Senate. The minority leader, his duties are the same as the majority leader, but he keeps the minority party together. Sometimes the minority party gets disillusioned because they're out of power. They can't, all they can do is protest sometimes and they get frustrated. So he has to keep their spirits up. He organizes opposition to majority party programs. The whips assist the majority or minority leaders. The whips do. I told you about this before, explained it to you. They get people lined up for votes. They keep the members in line with party positions. They round up the members to vote. They keep track of the members where they are, because you can't, you know, where everybody is all the time. People, if a guy's going to have to go to a meeting across town, he'll say, and a vote is coming up, he'll go to the whip and say, look, I have to go to a meeting across town. You can get me at this number. And then they do it that way. Of course, they all have cell phones now. In the Senate leadership, the vice president is the president of the Senate. We probably told you that 100 times. It's going to be on the final exam, probably. The vice president is the president of a Senate. If it looks like it's going to be a close vote, he will go in there and sit. The vice president will, and he will vote in case of a tie. He is the president pro tem, serves as the president when the vice president is absent. So whoever is sits in the chair, like, well, the vice president doesn't sit there all the time, so he'll have somebody sit there temporarily. The real power is held in the majority leader and the whips in the Senate. This is the graphic of the way it's organized. In the House, you have a speaker, a majority, a minority leader, and a majority whip and a minority whip. The Senate, same thing. The vice president is in charge, and you have a majority leader and a minority leader, and whips. Same concept. The committees and subcommittees. Don't be taking notes out of the book when I'm lecturing, please. Most of the congressional work is done in committees. It's not mandated by the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't say anything about having committees in Congress. They study and they research bills, and then they recommend or pass or no pass. It's their recommendation. Should we pass this bill or should we not? That's all a committee can do, is recommend. Then the bill, the law, goes down to the full House of Representatives or the full Senate, and they argue and debate it there. But these congressional committees They do the research on these laws, and most of the members will pay attention to the committees. They study and research bills and recommend pass or no pass. They screen which bills are passed. If they don't release a bill to go out onto the floor for debate, the bill is dead. The committees decide which bills have a chance to pass. The committee can bottle up a law so it never gets a chance to be voted on. They have standing committees of the most powerful. Bills have to be approved before consideration for the full House or the Senate. The standing committees are ones that are in session all the time. In the House, there are 19 standing committees. In the Senate, there are 17. The size varies on the committees, how many members are on there, from 12 to 57. But the majority party will always have the most members on a committee, and the chairman of the committee will always be from the majority party. The standing committee members are chosen by party caucus. It's controlled by the majority party, the seniority rule, that the person from the majority party with the most seniority, who's been there the longest, usually gets the chairmanship. The number is based on the percentage of members in the House and the Senate. Most of the committees are very closely divided now because there's not a big difference between Republicans and Democrats in the House or the Senate, but the Republicans still have the most members on each committee. The subcommittees, the standing committees, can be broken into smaller committees. Today there are almost 200 subcommittees, and they study everything. They call people up. They can subpoena people to come before them, and they can force you to testify. The select committees investigate specific problems. It can be permanent or temporary. Like, they had a select committee on the Watergate to investigate the Watergate. They have joint committees. Members from House and the Senate are in what they call joint committees when they get together. Some are permanent, like the Joint Economic Committee, the Joint Atomic Energy Committee. The conference committees iron out differences between House versions of a law and the Senate versions of a law. The congressional support, what they mean by support, they're saying how is Congress organized to support the members when they're doing their jobs? They have a personal staff of people that they can hire to help them do their work. They have a committee staff, like the committees in the Congress. They all have their own staff. And then they have all these supporting agencies that give them information, like the Government Accounting Office and all that. The personal staff, the House has about 20, the Senate 40. They have an administrative assistant, which is the most important person. I just explained that a little earlier. He runs the office. You also have most of the representatives and senators have a legislative director. He assigns staff jobs and has an assistant. The personnel staff continue. There are legislative assistants that do research on bills, on laws. They help the caseworkers help the people back home. Legislative correspondents handle the mail and prepare the press releases in the general. If you write to your congressman, you think he signs your letter personally and sends it back to you? He gets hundreds of thousands of those things every year. When I was there, they had a machine. And what would happen is it was a machine and it had they'd have a girl sitting at the desk and she would copy over the senator's, signature and it would automatically make a signature on these letters. You just sit there all day and copy over. They did it manually. Now they do it with machines now. Okay? All right, the committee staff, each committee has a staff. They research issues and problems. They make recommendations. Roy Cohen is one of the most famous staff members. He was the staff member for Senator Joseph McCarthy. That was a bad choice for Senator Joseph McCarthy because when he picked Roy Cohen, Roy Cohen really brought him down. Before that, Bobby Kennedy was on the McCarthy committee as a staff member. Hillary Clinton was on the... One of the ironies of history is that Hillary Clinton was on a staff member on the committee that recommended impeachment for Nixon. And then later her husband gets impeached. Nixon wasn't technically impeached, though. He resigned before he got impeached. The supporting agencies that we told you about, the General Accounting Office, they review government programs. The Library of Congress will give them research. Congressional Budget Committee. And they can get things printed through the government printing office. Different websites you can go to are the General Accounting Office, Library of Congress. The Library of Congress, when you're doing research, there's a lot of information there if you have to research papers. Not a lot of people know about it, I guess. It's www.loc.gov, libraryofcongress.gov. and then the Congressional Budget Office, they review what effects it's going to have on the economy as a whole. And that's the end of it. Now, remember that you're going to take the vocabulary test when you come back on Tuesday, I guess it is, right? And then the next day you're going to have the chapter test. You're running out of time for doing makeups, because you can only do one makeup a day. If you have 10 makeups a day and there's only 8 days left, you're going to miss two of them. You're only going to do one a day, no matter what. I'm going to start keeping the class open the week before finals from 5 and at night until 9 or 10 at night. So I'll be here, and you can work in here and do your work and stay in the class, and you can review for the final. I have all the questions up there. Your final is half your grade, so you need to get started on this. Now I'm going to release you now to do outline this chapter, explain it in detail. That means you're required to work for the rest of the period. If you start socializing or just look at the ceiling, this is going to be in lieu of taking that test. So you can get 20 points, just like taking a test by working the rest of the period. That's what you need to do. You need to turn in an outline of the chapter. You've got like 45 minutes to do that. Any questions? It's not a free time period. Okay.
What?
Section 4.